Morning News starts right now.
I try to discover a little something to make me sweeter. Oh, baby, refrain from breaking my heart. I'm so in love with you. I'll be forever blue. That you give me no reason why you make me work so hard. That you give me no, that you give me no, that you give me no, that you give me no soul.
News for the first time in history, the Speaker of the House ousted. Also, inside the rest.
Tonight, breaking news. For the first time in American history, the Speaker of the House is removed after a vote from within the Republican Party. What happens now?
Breaking news tonight, the chaos at the Capitol. Republican Kevin McCarthy ousted as House Speaker by members of his own party. McCarthy now the first Speaker in history to be voted out. The showdown on the floor, the vote forced by Matt Gaetz, part of a small band of GOP hardliners, angry with McCarthy for cutting a deal to avert a shutdown.
So we might have predicted this one wrong. You know, it's funny, Candy, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was listening to Guy Benson. I was driving around doing some errands yesterday, and he's our new afternoon host from, oh, now I've said it out loud. I don't know this. 1 to 4. And he was covering this live, which, by the way, you know, I know some people were not thrilled with the change from Dave Ramsey, but I think this is actually better for us and better for you, because yesterday during the middle of the day, when you have live breaking national news led by our local congressman, you had coverage of that as it was happening by our talk shows instead of, you know, look, I love Dave Ramsey, I do, but, you know, that's one of the reasons we made the switch, is because it gave us the ability to have, you know, something that would be covering all the news when it was actually happening, which
instead of telling you to get your envelopes and
right. And, you know,
I like Dave Ramsey too,
you may not know this because, you know, we just don't talk about this stuff out loud exactly, but, you know, Bobby Rossi still works for the station. He is the program director, and he was one of the key people that was advocating for a change in the lineup. And kudos to him. You know, this has quickly kind of paid off as the ability to have that coverage of, again, something that, you know, very locally relevant and certainly national news. And I was listening to Guy Benson talk about Matt Gaetz, and it was obvious to me that Guy Benson didn't know Matt Gaetz, which is fine. You can't know all the congressmen. I mean, you know, I don't know Kevin McCarthy, right? I would feel uncomfortable saying too much about Kevin McCarthy because I don't know him, but I know Matt Gaetz really well. And I thought Guy Benson was dead wrong on Matt. And one of the things I heard him say was that he's just, you know, pitching a temper tantrum. This is just about vanity for him. This is, you know, he doesn't even have any policy demands. I'm like, bro, he's been making policy demands the whole time. Like, I don't know what you mean. But again, you know, the fact that Guy Benson was wrong, who cares? I might be wrong at times. The point is, we're talking about the things that matter. And I value that. I appreciate that. And yesterday, what I was thinking about when I heard him say this is like, it suddenly clicked with me. It clicked with me why this was going to work and what Matt was trying to do. And I didn't understand it beforehand, which is, you know, okay, it's just, there you go. In January, Matt didn't have the ability to prevent Kevin McCarthy. Not really. Not to get somebody else, right? What he had was the ability to hold up the process and get some concessions along the way to getting Kevin McCarthy as a speaker. Yesterday, he still didn't really have the power to get rid of him because, of course, if they voted, he had the power to vote him out with the Democrats. But he didn't have the power to prevent him from running again and just having the unending, you know, 15, 20, 1,000 rounds of whatever happened back in January. But the way I understood it was, this was Matt's way of saying, look, I couldn't stop you. I couldn't get somebody else in January. I can get somebody else now. And that's what we've got. You know, yesterday after the vote and, you know, all of the, man, the debate was long. I didn't watch all of it. I watched enough of it to get the gist. And basically you had all of the Republicans who are in support of the old way of doing things and or in support of Kevin McCarthy and or being leveraged. I mean, I don't know for any individual Republican which of those or which combination of those is true, but certainly all three of those, or, you know, none of those three is true of Matt and the seven that voted with him. You know, they said we want a different way of doing things. And again, there was all kinds of policy issues that he was pushing for. Primarily, the biggest one that he was pushing for was how to do budgets and making sure that we have single issue votes on funding. That was the big one. We've talked about this before, that the main thing that he was pushing for was that you would have a vote on the transportation budget. You would have a vote on the education budget. You would have a vote on, you know, the military budget as a separate line. You know, that each of the main silos of funding would be done separately. And that was something that, you know, really needed to be fixed. And he, you know, made that case over and over and over again. And so when, you know, when Guy Benson says there's no policy, I'm like, well, that really is the policy that they're looking for, is these single issue kind of things. So they go to, you know, they can't get a motion to table it. They lose on that one. And then Matt says,
and Mr. Speaker, I don't know how this vote's going to go. Usually when a vote comes to this floor, it's pretty predetermined. And this one, I'm not so sure, but I am sure that we've made the right argument, that this place deserves single subject spending bills, that we should have 72 hours to read a bill, that something that spends more than $100 million shouldn't be put on the suspension agenda such that we can't amend it, and there shouldn't be secret side deals made on a continuing resolution to lump Ukraine in with border security. That is not right for Ukraine or border security, because it fails to give either of those issues the dignity that they would require.
And that's exactly right. You ought to have a vote on funding for Ukraine and find out who really believes in that. You ought to have a vote on, you know, every border security and find out who falls which way on that. That way, you can really have to make choices and be accountable for those choices, and you have the opportunity to really shape the budget in line with what a majority of people want. So I totally agree. And by the way, where did Matt learn that? Florida. Now, we don't do it quite that way, but in effect, we do, because the governor has veto power. Now, you're not going to get the president to have line item veto power in D.C., but at least this is some hybrid halfway between the just yay or nay on everything altogether, versus like in Florida, where we can put forward everything that we think is going to work, and then the governor can take out all the stuff that he doesn't want in there. So I totally support that way of doing budgets. Matt's exactly right on that. And that may not solve anything. It may not solve much, because you ultimately got to get the Senate on board. But then you have negotiation power. You know, instead of going to the Senate with the giant yes, you go to the Senate with, 15 or 20 yeses. And then you have to argue about each individual one. That makes sense to me. So Matt said he didn't know whether he was going to win or not. They go to the vote.
The question is on adoption of the resolution. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The noes have it. The resolution is...
This is on the resolution to remove McCarthy. Okay. So the noes yell louder, but...
Gentlemen from Florida.
I'd request the yeas and nays.
The yeas and nays are requested. Those favoring a vote by the yeas and nays will rise. A sufficient number having risen, the yeas and nays are ordered.
There you go. So they order the yeas and nays, and then you wait forever, and you watch that stupid screen with the, you know, the columns and the numbers, and you're like, how long is this going to take? Long time. Always takes a long time.
On this vote, the yeas are 216. The nays are 210. The resolution is adopted. Without objection, the motion to reconsider is laid on the table. The office of Speaker of the House of the United States House of Representatives is hereby declared vacant.
First time ever in American history. It's never happened before. I think we've had a couple of efforts to do this, but it has never been done before. Never been done before. So what now? You know, what now? Well, Patrick McHenry, who is the Speaker pro tem and does not want the job of Speaker. There's a handful of people that might become Speaker now. There's a lot of interesting conversation about which of those it might be. But he said,
in the opinion of the chair, prior to proceeding to the election of a Speaker, it would be prudent to first recess for the relative caucus and conferences to meet and discuss the path forward.
So y'all go to your own corners. you get those wounds touched up and do a little bit of rehab and talk to each other and figure out what's going to happen, because we're not going to be able to do this. Now, what I was surprised about was the duration. I thought, naive me, I guess, I thought we'd be back at it like today. No, a week. Go home for a week. Next Tuesday, we take this back up, apparently.
Accordingly, pursuant to Clause 12A of Rule 1, the chair declares the House in recess, subject to the call of the chair.
Oh, and if you saw, I think that was the one where he wailed on that gavel. Like, he was furious. So now, first time in 113 years that we've even had a vote on removing the speaker, and the first time in our history that we've actually removed a speaker, and the House of Representatives is speakerless. So, Candy, trivia question.
Yes.
Who is in the line of succession for the president?
Oh, I hadn't thought about that.
Something happens to the president. The next is?
Kamala Harris.
Right, vice president. And the next is?
The Secretary of State.
Nope. Good guess, though.
I don't know.
Speaker of the House.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Speaker of the House is third. That's why it was always kind of like.
So we don't have anybody?
If something happened to Trump and Pence, it would have been Nancy Pelosi.
Wow.
If something had happened to Biden and Harris, it would have been Kevin McCarthy.
So who's... Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
I hear you.
Isn't there a vice speaker of the House? No, it's vacant.
I don't know.
It's vacant, so it skips.
All right.
And you go to the speaker, the president of the Senate, which is Patty Murray, speaker pro tem of the Patty Murray. And if you've never heard of her, that's okay. She's a relatively famous, but also not at all famous. You know, she's just not a headline sender, but she is... the one who would be. And then Antony Blinken, who is the Secretary of State, is actually fifth in line. Fifth in line, right. But fourth now third now because of that. 4-3-7-16-20. So we'll see. You know, this is a giant, we'll see what's going to happen over the next week and what happens when we come back. And I think the general outsider assessment of what Matt Gaetz was doing was he was pitching a temper tantrum and he was trying to get clicks and raise money, which, you know, he sent out fundraisers during the process, which I thought was kind of, either really inappropriate or just kind of savvy. But I view it as, I think he got what he wanted in that he got rid of McCarthy and now he has leverage because they can thwart any speaker. Okay. 8 is enough to thwart any speaker as long as the Democrats vote with him. And now they have leverage to get some of the things that they've wanted since January, since before that. I genuinely think Matt's interested in reform. I know him really well. I genuinely think that's what's going on. I don't think this is clicks and headlines and notoriety and fame and all the things that have been accused of him. I think he's really trying to accomplish something in D.C. Whether it'll work or not, well, time will tell. You know, I was wrong about whether he'd be able to get rid of the speaker. And, I think for those who say that this will not accomplish anything, I think they're probably going to wind up being wrong. But again, time will tell. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
This is Scott Trout of Cordell and Cordell. If you're a dad who is facing divorce, there are extra layers of stress that may include stereotypes and assumptions. No two situations are the same. Our legal experience and dedication prepare us for whatever legal challenges we face together. For more than 30 years, Cordell & Cordell has represented men in divorce.
For matters in Tennessee, visit CordellCordell.com. 200 West Martin Luther King Boulevard, Suite 1000, Chattanooga, Tennessee, 37402. No representation is made that the quality of legal services to be performed is greater than the quality of legal services performed by other lawyers.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Max Materials, GE Wind Energy, Pensacola Bay Oysters, and soon, the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie. On at 4 right after Guy Benson. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
We do this my way. You shoot to kill. You get as many as you can. All you gotta do is just not miss.
I won't miss.
Join our broadcast with history already in progress because mere minutes before I walked out here on this stage, Republican Kevin McCarthy was ousted as Speaker of the House. And I'm sure this won't be taken out of context when I say, I love the McCarthy hearings. This, not really hearings, but you get the idea. You get the idea.
See, okay, so Colbert wins the opening joke award from last night.
I used that on a label for one of our podcasts. So
did you really?
Whatever, yeah. And these late, whatever.
Okay, all right, so they're stealing stuff from us. Yeah.
I had stuff stolen from me before. That's another show, but yeah.
I gotcha.
But I don't think they stole
he
from
loves
us,
the McCarthy hearings. That's funny. I like it. It's
I don't
funny.
Like Colbert.
527, I loved him best when he was the Colbert Report.
Yeah,
no,
he was great
show.
After COVID hit. It's like, okay, bye. Yeah.
Well, and after Trump got elected. I mean, it was just all Trump hate all the time. Just like Kimmel.
Oh, that's true.
Oh, my God,
yeah, but
Kimmel.
Kimmel's funny.
No, not anymore. He
yes,
has
he
gone.
Is.
He's worse than Colbert on the Trump hatred. I mean, he was, I don't
no,
even want to say
not,
vicious
he does
last
not care
night.
For President Trump,
no,
but he's, I think it was
it's
funnier.
Awful. Anyway, David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, the election for the new Speaker of the House set to be held next Wednesday. Members leaving the House GOP conference meeting said a candidate form is going to be held on Tuesday. With the election the following day, Kevin McCarthy says he will not be running again.
Will they have like the evening wear and the talent show and the
swimsuit competition and all that? Yeah.
Oh my God! Okay, so I always watch. Sorry, that. I'm totally interrupting your newscast. But I watch the Miss America or Miss USA. I can never keep track which one it was. It was on like Friday night.
Right.
I mean, I don't watch the thing. I record it and then I go to the end and I watch the questions because that's always the interesting part. So boring. They asked all of them the same question, and the question was, "How will you being Miss? I think it was USA. Being Miss USA, how will you contribute to the organization?" So disappointing.
It was
so boring. Anyway, go ahead, David.
There have been more layoffs at Ford Motor Company and General Motors as the UAW strike continues. Ford laying off just over 300 workers in Chicago and Lima, Ohio. GM laying off another 160 workers as the strike continues. And just saw this one over on Channel 3, an air quality alert all across our area, guys. This is due to smoke from the Canadian wildfires. You probably noticed those hazy conditions yesterday.
Is that why we've been having these awesome sunsets?
It probably is, actually, right. Yeah. But they say the general public isn't likely to be affected. But if you're sensitive like me, you'll probably be sneezing.
Well, I'm insensitive, so everybody knows.
That's accurate.
I've heard that. I've seen that rumor somewhere.
I sneeze at everything. So I have been sneezing a lot the last couple of days, so I don't know if it's related or not. But if you say those who are sensitive are reacting, I guess that's why. So, all right, fair enough. Thanks for the explanation.
Yes, well, I don't know. If you're sneezing, it could also just be fall allergies,
yes,
too.
It could be. You know, so, having dogs in the house and just being allergic, yeah. allergic to nothing but sneezing at everything is my condition.
I'm not a doctor, but I did stay at a Holiday Inn once a couple of years ago.
Nice. Well done. 437-1620, 437-1620. If you have any kind of a plumbing issue, a leak, a drip, a weird sound in the wall, when you flush the toilet or turn on the faucet, the pressure's not good, the temperature's not good, Barberry Plumbing, they'll come and take care of you for a flat rate, not by the hour, but by the job, so you know in advance what it's going to cost. 477-8782 for Barberry Plumbing. What do you have coming up, David?
Well, we've got some reaction on the Matt Gaetz, Kevin McCarthy situation.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. After a historic vote to remove Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the House is now in recess until next Tuesday when Republicans meet behind closed doors to hear from potential candidates. Florida Republican Matt Gaetz introduced the motion to vote McCarthy out and tells Fox,
Speaker McCarthy's time is over. I wish him well. I have no personal animus to him.
You know it was personal.
McCarthy says he will not run again for Speaker. The vote to remove him was 216 to 210, with seven Republicans joining Gaetz and every Democrat. The judge for former President Trump's business fraud civil trial in New York imposes a gag order against posting or speaking publicly about his staff after Trump attacked his law clerk, including personally identifying information.
He showed a picture of the judge's staff member with Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer. Trump called the staffer Schumer's girlfriend and said that she's running the case against him.
Fox's Nate Foy in New York. A Schumer spokeswoman says he does not know the clerk. This was just a photo taken with a constituent. America's listening to Fox News.
Five 31 at News Radio 92.3. Good morning. I'm David Wayne. 68 degrees. It is partly cloudy skies right now. Again, 68 here in Pensacola. Well, a lot of drama in the House of Representatives yesterday. Ultimately, the chamber siding with Pensacola Congressman Matt Gaetz, voting to remove Kevin McCarthy as House Speaker in a 216 to 210 vote.
What paralyzed the House of Representatives was not taking up appropriations bills. We left for a six-week vacation while the appropriations process hung in the balance. And because I forced these people to take a few votes, you think I'm paralyzing the House of Representatives?
And speaking with reporters on the Hill yesterday, he fought back on the notion that he had paralyzed the House by calling for that vote. Gaetz says McCarthy didn't live up to the agreement he made with conservative Republicans. And, well, now former House Speaker Newt Gingrich wants House Republicans to expel Congressman Gaetz.
In an op-ed for the Washington Post on Tuesday, Gingrich called Gaetz anti-Republican and claimed he was engaging in childish behavior and has become actively destructive to the conservative movement. Gingrich said Gaetz should be expelled from the House Republican Conference for his motion to remove Kevin McCarthy as Speaker of the House. McCarthy was voted out of office Tuesday after Gaetz put forward a motion to vacate the chair. I'm Mark Mayfield.
Thank you very much, Mark. And Pensacola Sports is donating $250,000 towards Pensacola State College's athletics program. That donation is going towards PSC's Game Plan Capital Campaign. Announced last September, the game plan seeks to update existing facilities and build new ones as well, and increasing scholarship endowments. PSC officials are planning to build a top-tier soccer complex, including bleachers, a concession stand, locker room, and a press box. Other big initiatives include building an academic success center for student-athletes, a strength and conditioning center, locker rooms for the volleyball and cross-country programs. Well, more than 27 years after killing two women in the panhandle, 54-year-old Michael Zack became the sixth inmate to be executed in Florida this year.
He looked up for a couple of seconds, and he looked around, I guess, to see who all was there. I was told it was not a two-way mirror where he was looking, so he could see the witnesses there. And about a minute later, they confirmed that the governor had no reason for a delay, and they asked him his last words, to which he said, I love you all.
That's Channel 3's Tanner Stewart. He was there as Zack was put to death by lethal injection yesterday after Governor DeSantis signed the death warrant. August 17th, Zack's attorneys had made appeals to both the Florida and U.S. Supreme Court, saying Zack should be spared due to suffering from fetal alcohol syndrome. Well, we should find out in just a matter of weeks if Governor DeSantis' attempt to redraw the state's congressional districts will stand. Voting rights groups sued over the map because it eliminates a district in North Florida that was represented by a black lawmaker. The plaintiffs claim the map is illegal because it's the result of intentional discrimination. The federal trial ended yesterday. Three judges said they'd announce a ruling before the year ends. and whichever side does lose the case could appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court. 534, let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast this morning.
A beautiful day in store today with plenty of sunshine. High today near 87 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 69 degrees. Partly cloudy skies on Thursday with a high near 88. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 69. Nice weather does continue Friday with a small chance of a stray shower, keeping rain chance at 10%. Otherwise, partly cloudy with a high near 88. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now, 68 degrees in Pensacola, 71 in Gulf Breeze, and 63 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
What is News Radio 92.3? News and information for Pensacola. The Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay, 5 till 9. The Pensacola Expert Panel or Pep Talk from 9 to 11. Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 until 2. Guy Benson from 2 to 4. Pensacola Right Now with Joe and Gracie from 4 to 7. Dave Ramsey from 7 to 10. WEAR-TV at 10. And Brian Kilmeade overnight at 11. On News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Rumors of Fleetwood Mac, the world's finest tribute to Fleetwood Mac, returns to the stage in 2023. A brand new show celebrating the very best of Fleetwood Mac. A unique opportunity for fans both old and new to rediscover the songs and performances that have ensured Fleetwood Mac's place as one of the most loved groups of all time. Personally endorsed by Fleetwood Mac founding member Mick Fleetwood. Live at Pensacola Sanger Theater on November 22nd. The ultimate tribute to Fleetwood Mac. Tickets are on sale now from Ticketmaster.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 5:37 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we had a chance to talk to our sheriff in Escambia County, Chip Simmons. Sheriff, welcome back to the show, sir.
How are you?
Oh, look at that. There you go. That's my fault. I confused Candy by giving him the other mic.
So people know, I just speak into the mic they give me.
No, it's not the like sheriff's fault. Not even remotely. It's totally our fault.
Yeah.
So a couple of incidents, as we always do. Always have some incidents to talk about. One is you had a felony battery strangulation and a kidnapping of a girlfriend up in Cantonment. Is that right?
Unfortunately, that's right. Yeah, we arrested Antoine Davis, and he is accused of holding and strangling his girlfriend periodically over a two-day period. I think they were at a grandmother's house or her mother's or his grandmother's house. And the report was that he held her and battered her and, again, strangled her over the course of a two-day period, would not let her leave. I think that if she tried to leave, he would batter her and bring her into the house, threaten her with more violence if she left the house. Just a terrible situation. But now he is he's under arrest, and he'll answer for those charges.
You know what I always think about cases like this is, I mean, thank God she's okay. It seems like she's going to be okay. Right. Thank God we're, at least for the moment, able to separate them and get her out of that situation. But what I always think is not so much how awful for her, but how awful for the other ones we don't know about.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, unfortunately, that is the case where some people don't report it, and then it escalates or continues. Either one's terrible. So that's why we do our best to try to, let people know it's okay. There's a place. There's a safe place you can go to. There are resources available. And if you know of someone that's been the victim of that, you can call us and we can check that out. We certainly are willing to arrest those that are committing these terrible crimes.
And the psychology involved in the victims and the perpetrators, it's all very complicated stuff. It's emotions, it's patterns, it's what you're expecting, it's what you think of your own self-worth. There's all kinds of stuff built in and around this, and it's awful to know tragically how common, you know, how not uncommon, you know, this kind of stuff is, unfortunately. We also had a guy was threatening four people with a gun on Dudley Drive. Is that right?
Yeah, on Sunday we arrested a guy that there were four people in a house on Dudley Drive, and he came out with a handgun and threatened them because it was an argument between two females at the residence, which became physical. And then the male suspect pointed a handgun at the four individuals and threatened them. So obviously you can't do that.
Right.
So he was arrested. His name was Ladarius Blankenship. We ended up arresting him for that particular crime.
And you also had I guess it was a shooting on Blunt Street. This was yesterday, I think, that somebody was shot. And I thought I heard that this was maybe an abandoned home or something like that.
Yeah, as I understand it, people are staying at his home, and we can't determine who owns the home. But
okay.
There's a number of people that have been staying in that. In this particular case, is a guy said that he claims he got shot by a male he doesn't know. He claims that this is a young black male with dreads in a white shirt. So that's all we have to go on at this point. It does not appear life-threatening, the injuries.
You have the information you have.
We can only investigate with what we have.
You know,
we obviously secured a crime scene. We gather any shell casings and that sort of thing. We certainly investigate these things, all crimes. But sometimes we get information that we deem reliable and credible, and sometimes we do not.
I see. And, you know, sometimes the people who are giving you the less than credible information, they may eventually become suspects.
And strangely enough, I mean, it's the ones that get shot that sometimes don't give us the information.
How big of a problem is it for your office or for the community in general, abandoned, vacant, you know, dilapidated, we tend to think of, but homes that are empty, my perception is that, homeless people move in and that can be a problem, but criminals can move in. Generally speaking, empty homes are a law enforcement challenge, right?
They certainly can be, as you said, people can, first of all, the home gets deteriorating, and yard and stuff looks bad. It becomes a nuisance to the neighborhood itself.
Yeah.
But then you got the added threat, if you will, of individuals, breaking in and staying there, squatting there. For no good purpose, or you never know what's going to happen whenever people go in there and they loot or they just occupy a home for a certain period of time. And the bottom line is, you don't live there. Stay out of someone's house.
Right. Right. You would think.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say something, and I'm curious to see whether you'll agree with me. I think you will, but that's why I want to ask. In our neighborhood, we know a lot of the neighbors. We walk, we talk with people, we engage them. In every neighborhood, you've got there are the people who just want to be in their house and leave them alone. And then there are the people who are kind of lightly connected to other people. And then you've always got, there's kind of these 5% of the residents that are, they're probably on the HOA and they kind of know everybody, and they got their busybodies in the sense of they're into everybody's business and they know all the gossip. And those people are vital for crime deterrence and prevention, though, because they're the ones who are going to know, and they're going to talk, and they're going to call the police. Those people can sometimes be a little bit, but they're also that's the neighborhood watch, even if it's not a neighborhood watch, right?
Well, and we tell people, back in the day, we would have a lot more of the neighborhood watch and association meetings. And now with social media, we can get that information out, to a wider audience. But we would tell them a lot of times to pay attention to what's going on in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. work and protect your own neighborhood as if it were your own. So what they were taught to do, or told to do, or asked to do, is to pay attention. If you see something suspicious, call us and we can check it out. If you see a car parked in your, a neighbor's house that may be away on,
yep.
on deployment or maybe away on vacation, then to give us a call. And those are very important things to keep a neighborhood safe. We do get calls, unfortunately, about neighborhood disputes, about what someone terms a busybody, and mind your own business, leave me alone. As you pointed out, there may be some people that just want to be left alone, and that's true. And that's why you move into a house with with covenants and or a neighborhood with covenants. And if you want to be left alone, there are places in Escambia County
that where you can do that. With, yeah.
You know, acreage and such.
Look, I mean, you know, the person who knows what everybody drives is the person who knows when somebody's driving and shouldn't be there, you know, and that's
there's a balance there, right?
That's right. No, that's exactly right. But again, that can be useful for crime thwarting. Earlier today, I played an audio clip from former President Trump over the weekend speaking in California. And you and I talk almost too much, but I don't think it's too much. I think it's very useful. Mm-hmm. We talk a lot about the rules regarding guns, the rules about self-defense, stand your ground, castle doctrine, all of that kind of stuff. And I heard him say this morning, and we had a pretty robust discussion about it early in the morning, but I wanted to get you give you a chance to comment because I spoke in your behalf. I said, well, this is what Chip would say about this, and I hope I'm right. I mean, I know I'm sure I'm right, but okay, you know, I wanted to give you a chance to hear it. This is President Trump in California over the weekend.
And we will immediately stop all of the pillaging and theft. Very simply, if you rob a store, you can fully expect to be shot as you are leaving that store. Shot.
So, Sheriff?
You know, the rules are, and they continue to be, that if you feel as if your life or another's life is in danger, you can use deadly force. And again, we talked about that. I am a supporter of the Second Amendment. I'm a supporter of someone defending themselves. But if someone's leaving your residence or a store, then what danger do they pose you? It makes good political theater. I'm just not so sure if that's actually what he meant. You know, there used to be a fleeing felon law here, in the country. I think it was Tennessee versus Garner decided, hey, you can no longer shoot a fleeing felon you can't shoot him in the back, more or less.
Gotcha.
When someone's leaving. Now there are times when a law enforcement officer, someone can think that this person poses such a threat, you're shooting at the cops and you turn around and flee, you can still be shot in that scenario.
Sure.
So I don't know what President Trump was talking about. I can just tell you, if you don't feel as if your life is in danger, and if it's not reasonable to think that your life was in danger at the time that you pull the trigger, then that's illegal.
And we all understand, and I had a caller who took great disagreement with me about this, but we all understand the frustration of being the victim of or seeing other people victimized with a theft of this kind. And if, you know, somebody's coming into the store wielding a baseball bat and chains and you don't know what's about to happen, that is an entirely different scenario than if somebody is, you know, back to you leaving the store carrying a TV and, you know, not a threat of any sort to you.
Well, what I heard him say, and again, there's a nuance here, and we have some particular more information, but he said robbery. A robbery is not a theft. A robbery is not shoplifting. A mm-hmm. robbery is using a weapon to rob a store, like a handgun or something. And so if he's talking about robbing a store and then turning and leaving, you would have to explain that you felt like that individual that's a robber mm-hmm. with a gun.
Because that's with force. A robber is not a burglary.
Right. It poses a significant threat to you or someone else. The neighborhood, the community, whatever it's going to be. I think it's an uphill battle if you're leaving the store, but I do think that, obviously if they turn towards you, then you're at threat. You're at risk then.
And what I said is, you know, somebody's leaving the store and is no longer a threat. It sounds to me like he's saying shoot him in the back. I mean, he didn't use that phrase, but that's what it sounds to me like he's saying. And I certainly agree that that would have a deterrent effect, but you can't justify deadly force. You know, I was actually reading the statute this morning, 776.031, which says you can defend property with force, but not deadly force. It has to be in commission. Imminent commission of a forcible felony is the justification for deadly force.
Right. And law enforcement have the same rule.
Right.
We have the same rules that everyone else has. People think sometimes that law enforcement has a greater authority to just shoot somebody, and that's not the case. When we have an officer involved shooting, we evaluate it as if it were using the same statutes that you talk about.
Right.
And when the state attorney's office looks at that, they look at those statutes. There aren't special statutes for law enforcement officers. It's as simple as it has been for years since we've been talking. It has to be a reasonable person standard that you believe that your life or someone else's life is in danger at the point you pull that trigger.
And my biggest concern with people, and this is why I like to talk about this so much, is because I am concerned, especially with everybody now eligible to conceal carry, mm-hmm. is people will have this, you know, I'd rather be judged by 12 than carried by 6. You loot, we shoot. You know, they kind of have these sort of, you know, Rambo-esque pithy phrases that guide them in their thinking. And I just want them to know that that is not what the law says. And, you know.
You and I both talk, and I'm a big, big supporter of the fact that you can protect yourself.
That's right.
You certainly
right.
can in Escambia County. You can use force to protect yourself in Escambia County. And the tie goes to the runner. In my right. view of these things, I'm just saying that you have
not
to
not in the sense that if they're running, but in the yeah, sense of yeah. if there's uncertainty if between it, the defender and the violent close, offender,
we're,
right?
We're gonna side with someone that's defending themselves,
right.
especially on your own property. Someone breaks in your property, you get the benefit of the doubt in my mind, but you can't you know help me out. Don't shoot someone when they're leaving. So don't shoot someone whenever they're no longer a threat to you or someone else.
Very good. Sheriff Chip Simmons, always good information. Thank you so much, always, for giving us good perspective and for keeping us safe. I appreciate that. It's a difficult job, and I'm glad you're doing it. Most definitely. 550 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Always good to talk to the sheriff. Hey, if you are if you're thinking about buying or selling a home and you just want to make a good informed decision and, you know, bend somebody's ear a little bit and get some really good information from them, talk to Christina Leavenworth. And, you know, I talked to her so many times. She's such a good friend. One of the things that she always says is, look, if I sit down with somebody, they sometimes are reluctant to call me because they think, oh, she's so busy selling all these homes. No, she loves to meet new people. And regardless of whether it becomes a business deal, you know, she's just happy to meet people and talk about real estate and educate them and share with them and, you know, give them a little bit better chance to do what they want to accomplish with their lives. And, you know, if it turns out that you become a client and she makes money, great. If not, great. If it's 5 years from now, great. If you refer her to somebody else who also doesn't, you know, it's like it doesn't matter. She just likes to talk to people, meet people, network, just share information. That's kind of her passion. And, of course, a lot of people she helps buy and sell homes. I mean, you know, 230 homes last year, right? So relatively often she's helping people sell a home. But if you really want a good perspective on what's happening, not just in the market as a whole, but in the market for, you know, $400,000 homes near 9th Avenue or $600,000 homes in Gulf Breeze, like she'll be able to tell you the difference in what's happening with those particular markets. It's not all just one big thing. It's each individual, you know, location and price range kind of has its own truths. 723-9158 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Levin Rinke Realty.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. For almost a decade, I've been telling you about my friends at Frontier Motors in Pensacola. The biggest reason is they help my listeners save thousands of dollars when purchasing a slightly used car over a brand new one. Consumer Reports says the average new car depreciates a whopping $9,200 in the first year alone. That's crazy. So if you're thinking new, don't. Go see Frontier Motors and see how much they can save you on a current year car with very low miles. And if your goal is to get out of debt, bring Frontier Motors your car and they can write you a check on the spot. Frontier Motors can also do consignments and they don't charge a fee or a commission. Frontier Motors have been helping the people in the Pensacola area for 21 years. They are the go-to dealer for free advice when it comes to buying or selling a car. Please go see my friends at Frontier Motors. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey sent you.
AM Radio provides always-on news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports. It also delivers vital emergency information when your community needs it most. A new bill in Congress would ensure AM Radio stays in your car. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free emergency service is critical. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Great Southern Restaurant Group, home to the Fish House, Atlas Oyster House, Jackson's, Angelina's, and Five Sisters. Today on the Pensacola Expert Panel at 9, they'll talk about Jackson's cooking class, Atlas beverage class, Thanksgiving, holiday hours, and other fun things you won't want to miss. That's all today on the Pensacola Expert Panel with Great Southern Restaurants.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Guy Benson, keeping you informed of the news every day at 2, right after Mark Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
My home life is unsatisfying.
May have mentioned many months ago, we've been working, really we've kind of moved to a second option, but we were looking for potential places for a police substation on the north side of the city.
That makes perfect sense, especially when the mayor explained it yesterday about why PPD could use a place for its officers to, you know, offload video or just, you know, check in where they wouldn't have to go all the way downtown to Haines Street.
When you think about the police officers who are on that beat on the north part of the city, if they've got body cam footage, if they've got different things that where they would be all the way up near Creighton Road or further north of that, and then having to come all the way back downtown, that's a lot of time spent that would normally be out, you know, working through those neighborhoods and having additional police presence that's being spent in transit. And so we thought we would try to figure out a good partnership to be able to establish a police substation on the north side of the city, kind of in that 9th Avenue, Creighton kind of area.
Yeah, and that is a good location for it. That makes sense. The idea of it being somewhere there in the, like, you know, Pensacola State Community College. Pensacola State. What is it? What do we call it now? Not community college. Pensacola State College. We don't say community college anymore,
no,
right?
Because it's never been community
it's a
college.
PJC,
I mean,
right?
Sort of.
Right.
Yeah, James Conkins called it a community college.
Right.
And I'm like, dude, it's never been community college. And there's one in Milton.
That's right. Anyway.
Pensacola State.
But it makes sense because it's a long, I mean, it, you know, it might not be all that long, 15 minutes or so to get back downtown, but that's a half hour round trip, you know? That's, well, what? A quick 12-hour shift. That's a, I can't do my math very well this morning. 8% of a day? Something like that, 4% of a day. Anyway, it's almost like, by the way, one of the other things, if you've never ridden along with the police, you just may not have thought of this, but arresting somebody is costly time-wise because you got to take them, you know, if you're a Pensacola police officer, you got to take them out to the jail. And the jail, depending on where you are in the city, is a ways. Just like it's a ways if you're in the county and you're not by the jail. I mean, you could be in Perdido and, you know, to the jail is an hour round trip. You know, if you're in Century, it's a much longer. And the point is, and I mean, there's no alternative. There's no better solution, but it's just one of those things where these logistical issues, that's not even including paperwork. If you can find a way to, you know, save on time wasted, that's an improvement in efficiency. That's officers out on patrol responding to calls. That's better than having them in transit going to the office because they got to download body cam video or something like that. 5:57 on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
The man accused of murdering rapper Tupac Shakur is expected to be arraigned today in Las Vegas. Authorities say he was involved in a fight with Dwayne Davis outside of that Mike Tyson fight in 96. They say Davis then shot and killed him at an intersection. After 27 years, he was arrested at his home in Nevada last Friday. AstraZeneca is going to pay $425 million to settle lawsuits from people who had kidney damage from the company's Nexium and Prilosec heartburn medications. The drug maker says the settlement resolves cases in state and federal courts in New Jersey and Delaware. Another case in federal court in Louisiana is scheduled to start in April. And apparently an entire Air Force squadron in Germany has been cut off from going out to the bar because of what commanders are calling a pattern of irresponsible alcohol consumption.
That's never, ever happened with anybody in the military
ever before. Never. The memo set out it was the 721st Aerial Port Squadron in Ramstein, Germany. Oh, terrible place to get cut off from going out.
kidding, man. Germany.
Yeah. As somebody with experience in the military and with irresponsible drinking,
there you go.
My heart is with you. I'm sorry.
Oh, speaking of this, the people who've made Cobra Kai, just a weird coincidence, are coming out with a new series called Obliterated. It's going to be on Netflix. it's all about the after effects, the hangover day after in the special operations community. When people go out partying, and then they have to do their job the next day. That's the premise of the show.
Dependable traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.